The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore reveals that kindness is not weakness.
Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's the strangest principle, and you know it's true, because we'll try to hide how we feel about something and we'll keep it buried in our hearts and think we're faking it pretty well, but sooner or later, something pops out of our mouths that we think, why did I say that? Why did I say that?
The Law of Kindness, next on Life Today.
Thank you for this opportunity of sharing with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are always thrilled to present Wednesdays with Beth. Beth is going to be teaching on the law of kindness. And you know, that's something that so often is lacking. Just be nice sometimes would be good for church folks to hear that, wouldn't it? And how about in the political arena? How about be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if that happened? I do want to encourage you to get Indivisible. It is in the bookstores. I feel like that God has granted me the opportunity of answering questions that you have and addressing very legitimate concerns with the help of a truly gifted friend and coworker, Jay Richards, to effectively address those concerns in a way that you are equipped and ready to win the day. To not only know how to pray, but to know how to express your very legitimate concerns and how to address them and how to help correct our nation's course. Really, really important. I hope you'll get Indivisible. Here is Beth Moore. Welcome, Beth.
Now, gentlemen, we usually, when we're studying the Word of God, are accustomed as a female gender to understanding that when the Scriptures talk about the sons of God, that it's also talking about us in most contexts. We've gotten used to that idea because there is so much of that gender context in the Word of God, particularly in the older versions. So I'm going to have to ask you to be patient with us today as we camp on, in this series, a verse that happens to have a she in it. And I want to say straight up, just like we constantly have to do the other and make sure that we see ourselves in that context of Scripture with that gender bearing with men, we need you to see it with us as a she on the page. You're also right smack in the middle of it. With that in mind, turn with me to one of the most annoying chapters in all of Holy Writ for women. I wouldn't even have to ask twice what it would be. Proverbs 31. Just turn there and get it over with. I know. Proverbs 31. It really is a piece of work, and I mean that in the best way, because it is not only written in an acrostic. In other words, every line of it is in order of the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 letters. So in other words, if it was the English alphabet, the first line of it and the first verse would start with an A, the second with a B, C, D, and all the way through. So it's a beautiful work of art. Not only is it in an acrostic, but it's in a chiastic, which means the first half of it moves this direction from A to B, and the second half of it moves from B to A. It picks back up on those concepts in opposite order and works back down to it. New American Commentary pointed that out, and I thought it was just amazing. So this is something of an art. This is a piece of beauty. This is like an opera in music, this piece of holy literature that God divinely inspired. And so I want to tell you what brought my attention to it. throughout the time that I had the joy of writing So Long in Security, it was camped on that 25th verse, Proverbs 31, 25. I'll read it to you. It says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come." She is clothed with strength and dignity. So that whole year, I must have said that scripture, and I've said it to him within just the last couple of days. I said that scripture to God 1,000 times. Over and over again, I'm clothed with strength and dignity. I can laugh at the days to come. But then there's just that that verse right next to it that I kept seeing. So you can't land on one without seeing the one next to it. That's the thing. It just becomes contagious through the page and through that column. And I looked at the next one, and it continued to call out to me. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I want to say that again. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, I love that. I love that version. It speaks to me. It certainly is a sound translation. But I'm going to tell you, it was the King James Version that had me at hello. I want you to hear this. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. What in the world does that mean? You and I are going to camp on in this series, and I'm going to say it over and over again, the New King James rendering of it that says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Well, that was the scripture that was just begging to be looked up. So I went to the dictionaries, and I looked up what the Hebrew rendering would be, and I found that that word for law of kindness, which can also be instruction, that word is the word in Hebrew from which they get Torah. It's Torah, the Torah of kindness. Now, in its Titus rendering, the Torah of Israel speaks to the 5 books of the law. But in the wider sense, it means the entirety of God's instruction. It was both written and oral to them, whatever was the instruction laid out from God. And so they talk about this thing called the law of kindness. And for the next several weeks, you and I are going to talk about that very thing on our Wednesdays. What is it to live by the law of kindness? Because I'm just going to tell you before we even get there that maybe like nobody else I can think of, James and Betty Robison and everything about the outreaches of life, everything about life today is about the law of kindness. They live by this law, and this faithful instruction is on their tongues. And I thought of all phrases we could find, man or woman, you would find this underlined and underscored by concept over and over again, that it's just as important for a man to live by the law of kindness as it is for a woman. In fact, the scriptures are telling the son what kind of wife to find. You want a home filled with the law of kindness and with wisdom when we open our mouths. And so that's what I want to camp on with you for a while. What does it mean to live by the Torah of kindness, the law of kindness? I'm going to give you, before we start our points together, I'm just going to give you Exhibit A and Exhibit B of why we need this lesson. Why would it be so important in the culture in which we live to take some time out to concentrate on a phrase called the law of kindness? And Exhibit A is this: because we live in a very mean world. Because we live in a mean world. My brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you. If you and I are not going to get mean with the mean world, it will not be on accident. It will not be on accident. I want to show you a phenomenon. We've talked about this some on Wednesdays before, and it just continually strikes me as I watch the news, as I read news clips, as I see all the things happening in our culture, I think about this portion of Scripture. I'm going to read a portion to you out of 2 Timothy 3. Jot down that address, 2 Timothy 3, and let me tell you why it's so important. Because it tells us about what the last of days, the end of days, will be like as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ. Christ told us in Matthew chapter 24 all different kinds of environmental disasters that would take place as far as earthquakes and famines. And we know there'll be persecution that will be heightened. But 2 Timothy 3 brings something very interesting into the mix. It tells us that in the last days, there will be perilous times. But it doesn't talk about the environment. It doesn't talk about circumstances. All it talks about is what people will be like in the last days. I want you to hear some of these things. It says, they'll be lovers of themselves. Does that sound like any culture you know? Yes. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited. Listen to this. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that sound like any world that sounds familiar at all to us? So I present to you, we're living in this world, and what Scripture tells us is that the further and further you and I get on the kingdom calendar, the meaner people will get. Matthew 24 tells us something interesting. It says that as the days go on toward the return of Christ, people's hearts will grow cold. And we could think about a whole lot of reasons why that would happen, but one would surely have to be that we are exposed to so much that we'll start getting dull to it. We've seen so much violence on TV. We can act it out on all sorts of video games. We have seen so much and are reading so much and have so much overexposure that the way our hearts will naturally respond is to get calloused and hard. It will be a self-defense. That if we're not going to get mean with the rest of the world, there'll be a reason why. We will have determined that we're not going to get cold and mean with everybody else because the world will get meaner and meaner before the return of Christ. That's Exhibit A. Exhibit B, I want to base back on the wonderful King James rendering of our verse where it says, she openeth her mouth. Exhibit B of why we want the law of kindness on our tongue is because she openeth her mouth. Yeah. And because he openeth his mouth. Because the fact is, we're talkers. We're talkers. Some of us may be less talkative than others, but sooner or later, we're all going to open our mouths and whatever is in our heart is going to come out of it. And that's a promise of Scripture. The Gospel of Luke says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's the strangest principle, and you know it's true. Because we'll try to hide how we feel about something and we'll keep it buried in our hearts and think we're faking it pretty well. But sooner or later, something pops out of our mouths that we think, why did I say that? Why did I say that? And very often, do you ever go like, where did that come from? Well, your heart. Beth, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from your very own heart. Sometimes I won't even realize what's in my heart until something comes out of my mouth and I think, whoa, whoa. I mean, even if I think I didn't even mean that, well, something got mean somewhere because here it comes out of our mouths. Sooner or later, what we bury in our heart, it will get so full it's going to spill out of our mouths. So the fact is that we are going to open our mouths and we do get to have a choice what kind of heart we're going to have that's going to express itself on our tongue. And we want to open our mouths with wisdom, and we want the law of kindness to be on our tongues. We are, many of us, natural-born talkers. Some may be more than others. I had to look back at that, at the book called The Female Brain, where the author said that the average woman uses about 20,000 words a day. On the average, a man uses 7,000. Now, all sorts of people, I looked on the internet, and it's just like a food fight out there on whether or not that's true. But I can tell you one thing, both genders are opening our mouths. We need to say 7,000 words with the law of kindness or 20,000 words with the law of kindness. Well, one thing for sure, we're opening our mouths. Something occurred to me in preparation for this lesson that not only are many of us talkers, but most of us in this Western culture are published authors. It doesn't have to do with having a book on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. It has to do with every single time we emit a word on a public forum like a blog, like email. You may think that's private. I get things forwarded to me all the time that at the bottom it says, this is strictly confidential. I'm thinking, okay, how many people have seen this? I mean, it's this open game. Every time we get on Twitter and we tweet something, we just published those words. Every time we get on Facebook and we make comments there, we are publishing. We are published authors. It doesn't have to do, publishing doesn't have to do with whether or not you get paid for it. It's, does it become a public word? Most of us are publishing authors. We have stuff out there continually that's been made public, we are opening our mouths all right. But the thing that's happened in the culture that we live in is that we are writers, but we do not have editors. And so nobody's editing any of this. It's just like out there, it's out there. My daughters and I all do a blog together. And one reason why no one of us does it without the other two is because sometimes it takes the other two to go, I don't think you want to say that. I've got one still in the file in a blog that I wrote a couple of years ago that neither girl would let me publish. And so it just sits there. I keep thinking they're going to change their mind someday. They're going to go, Mom, it's not that you might not have been on to something. It's that you don't want to say that publicly. Okay, well, fine. So we are one another's editors. But really, those of us who have the Holy Spirit living in us do have an editor. We need to listen to it. He says, I know before a word is on your tongue, Psalm 139. Before a word is on your tongue, he's going, No, no, and out it comes because we openeth our mouths out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, here's what I want to do with you. I want to talk about five little tastes of the law of kindness on our tongue to see if we'd like it to stick around. Sometimes you have to taste something to know whether you really want to make a meal out of it. And I hope that the Holy Spirit is going to convince us through the things that we're going to gather out of God's Word about the law of kindness that this is the way we want to live. We want to live our lives opening our mouths with wisdom, with the law of kindness on our tongues. Man or woman, this is the way we want to live. And so we're going to get five little tastes of it to see if we like it. And the first one is this. Number one, kindness is not weakness. Kindness is not weakness. Now, I hope you hung around long enough on the other side of that screen to hear this part. I'm so hoping that you didn't let your mind wander to something else and think, you know, I really don't want anything to do with kindness because it feels so weak. But I want you to know there is power in kindness. It takes some kind of supernatural power to stay kind in the mean world that we're living in. I want you to hold something here in Proverbs 31, but I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, but love your enemies. Everybody say, love your enemies. I mean, isn't it surprising that it's still there? I mean, we heard it when we were children, perhaps, but there it is, still bugging us to no end. Love your enemies, not just those that are easy to love. Love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is what? Kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, when he says you'll be sons of the Most High, it doesn't mean that we can earn our way into being a child of God by our good works and by loving those people that would be easier to hate. That's not what it's saying. It's saying we never resemble our Father in heaven more than when we love someone that's hard to love. And then when we're kind to someone who's harder to be kind to? Think of people in your life right now that are just like ungrateful. I mean, I think wicked, we all understand. I mean, it's really hard to be nice to somebody just flat out wicked. But I just want you to think of somebody in your realm of relationship that's just ungrateful. I mean, does it get any more annoying than that? You just think, what more could you want? And they just live in that state of feeling sorry for themselves, constantly throwing themselves a pity party that nobody wants to attend, nobody wants to go to it. But somehow we think that to be kind to that kind of person is giving them power over us, and we don't realize the power is in the kindness. We are never more like our Father in heaven than when we are kind to the ungrateful and the wicked.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
And, you know, that is so, so true. You know, Betty, one of the things that, you know, I referenced Indivisible when we came on the air, one of the things that we do in the book is try to show people how to approach people that, as far as we're concerned as Christians, they are 100% wrong in the direction or the opinion they have, and yet we address it as one of the leaders of college students says, you've given young people not only, say, the case or the healthy argument to present, but you've done it in a graciousness that disarms people. It's amazing how love and kindness does, as a soft answer, turn away wrath. God, help us to know how to address concerns appropriately. I want to show you something right now that I believe is going to move you as deeply as you've ever been moved. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to ask God to let you look at what you're about to see as He looks at it. And ask God, what do you want to do about it? Just ask. I look at those little faces, and I see them as so precious. I see little personalities. I see a future, hope. I see in the impoverished places there, I see that little baby is the greatest source of joy that mother has. It's her, in so many ways, her life. And then that joy is taken because they're hungry, Betty. All they need is food. Mm-hmm. And we can, as we fed hundreds of thousands, save millions of lives. But if you just think in those large terms, you don't understand it. We've got to have somebody that'll say, I'll take that baby, and I'll take those three or five, or I'll take that whole group that are trying to get into a feeding line. I'll take them. I can feed 10. I can feed 100. That's how we meet the need, and that's what our viewers do.
That's right, James. And you know, when I hear those cries, they're cries of hunger. Those little babies don't know anything else but that they're hungry. They don't know why they can't have food, but they're hungry. But we know, as we watch, we know what they need, and we can feel that need. We can give them the food that they need for the nourishments for their little bodies. I hope you will help us.
Well, what I want to ask you to do, I've just prayed and prayed from the time our mission team came back. We got a text message from one of our team members. Said we're watching two children die a day just trying to get to the feeding lines. It's desperate. It's not right. We can help them, and the missionaries are so ready. They're so special. But they're no more special than you are, because you're the ones that enable them to be there without empty hands. We always tailor the feeding to meet the immediate need, whatever it is, to get them stabilized. And we need your help. $30, $50, $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Could you feed 10? Would you make a $100 gift that'll just keep giving life for the next months? Would you do that for a child, for a mother? Could you give 50 and help 5, or $30 and help 3? For I pray everyone will help. Would you go to the phone and dial that number? It's a prayer line when you need prayer, paid for by love. Somebody loves you. Would you reach out and say, I'm going to touch someone with the love of God. I'm going to be the hands of Jesus today. And I'm going to give those children something to eat. I'm going to feed them. and help us feed as many as possible. Please do that. If you want to go online, you can do that, lifetoday.org. Make the gift. You write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail and then mail it, please. We really need to hear from you now. The situation there is so critical. I mean, you talk about an urgent need now. We have that. And we've got some gifts to bless the children in your family and to bless you in your spiritual growth because we love you. But we're asking you to give Life right now. Please call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new International Version and New King James Side-by-Side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I think you are going to be so blessed to share this with your children or your grandchildren, the Jesus Storybook Bible. Every story whispers his name. It's absolutely beautiful. I think it's wonderful what some of the publishers are doing for our children. And then this is a great study Bible. The New International Version and the King James, the New King James Version. Our pastor Robert preaches from this at Gateway. Beth teaches from the New International Version. And you can have both of those great versions, and we just want you to know that we want to bless you as you help save lives, literally save lives. We want to bless your life and the lives of the children you care so much about. Thanks so much for watching. Tell your friends to watch Wednesdays with Beth. Thank all of you for being with us. We appreciate you being here.
Tomorrow, after leading an undercover investigation, Lila Rose exposes the nation's largest abortion chain participating in sex trafficking. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.